Okay, we're on.
All right, team. I'll go ahead and return the Board of Supervisors back to session. We're going to do item 12F, Williamson Act, Parsons Trust. And my family has a property that's under the Williamson Act, so I have to recuse myself for any potential conflict of interest. So Supervisor Valenzuela, I'll give you the public hearing protocol and one public comment.
All right, so this is a public hearing, eh? So open up the public hearing. You read the order here, give us the update there.
I can real quick. This is the Parsons Williamson Act Contract Rescission and Reentry and Agricultural Preserve Amendment, which is APA-22-02.
Thank you. Staff report.
Thank you. This is Bernadette Sisson, Assistant Planner. The county received an application for Mr. and Mrs. Parsons to rescind a portion of two existing Williamson Act contracts and re-enter into one contract consisting of property solely under their ownership. The contracts they are currently under are shared by multiple property owners, one of which has been issued a non-renewal notice due to non-compliance by one of those other property owners. Also, they propose to change the contracted use from pasture and dry crops to row crops, field crops, along with some acreage dedicated to dry farming and a small portion for their home and farm employee housing. This project is within two separate agricultural preserves, which have been proposed to be amended, establishing one agricultural preserve consisting of the land owned by the applicant. No land is proposed to be added or removed because of this project. As proposed, this application is in line with the county rules for the establishment and administration of agricultural preserves and Williamson Act contracts. However, they do have an open code compliance case on one of the parcels that is part of the project. Staff has met with the applicants to discuss options to bring this property into compliance and advise them of how the code case could affect this project. They were informed that in order for staff to recommend approval, they must be in compliance with county rules, county policies, and terms of their contract. The applicants expressed their preference to move this project forward and for staff to bring it before the board. With that being said, staff recommends the board not approve the applicant's request at this time, and there is a suggested motion in the agenda worksheet. Thank you.
Okay. Any correspondence?
Not at the clerk's level.
Reports, arguments of staff by staff, other county departments or agencies, no other reports?
Are we able to speak,
Mr. Smith?
Correct. You have a...
Yeah, I'll just add on to the staff report that this is a bit unusual to come to you with a non-recommendation report.
Right.
So, with that and discussion with the applicants, we felt the best to maybe take this opportunity to bring this issue that we have countywide, essentially. The violation that associated with the property involves manufacturing of wood products, essentially, that are brought off from outside of the property, which is not currently allowed under the Williamson Act. So for discussion with the board, given that we're in a rural county, we have a lot of fire damaged trees everywhere, that it might behoove conversation to entertain changing the rules of the Williamson Act contract to allow such uses. Just wanted to put that out there. I think there's a need for it in the county, especially with all the dead and dying trees that we have. The Parsons have a manufacturing business where they cut firewood and sell. Currently, that is a code violation, and it's not compatible with the Williamson Act. So that's why it's currently not being recommended.
Okay, thank you. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence?
I have a comment, sir.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Jim Smith, Siskiyou County Agriculture Commissioner. Mr. Parsons and his wife have been productive agricultural members of the community for many years. His grandfather used to write checks on boards for the bank in Doris to cash them for his workers. And he's been doing wood cutting on his property for quite a while. Unknowns to him, he was breaking the rules. I'm not trying to question that. What I'm trying to tell you is that because of the rules that we are currently operating under, he has been rescinded from making money in a wood cutting business. Like many other woodcutters in Siskiyou County, they are not operating on properly zoned wood cutting zones, nor do they have the proper permits. Some of them may be operating Williamson Act properties. My recommendation to the board is to give this couple, excuse me, some grace and reestablish their Williamson Act properties. They've already rescinded most of their, or all of their wood cutting operations. They're not selling it anymore. And I'm sure that the Community Development Department will have them cleaned up sooner or later. Thank you.
Proponents' arguments and or evidence?
What?
Proponents' arguments and or evidence? You want to speak under proponents, you want to speak under public comment?
Public
it's up
comment.
To you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Public comment.
Yeah. So hold on.
Give me just a sec. Well, you're there. Stand right there. Stay right there. I take it when there's no opponents on. Is there anyone online? No opponents are recording.
Showing none online.
Okay, thank you.
This is what he's going to speak on.
Okay. Public comment. Go ahead, Mr.
Okay, Parsons. Hey. My name's Matt Parsons. This is my wife, Audrey. And I think Brian Dahl, wasn't he a supervisor in Butte County?
Lassen County.
Lassen County is a firewood friendly county, and now he's running for governor. So I just want to tell you guys that. Okay. We're in agriculture. We want to comply with the Williamson Act, okay? We want to preserve agriculture. If we need to avoid a penalty to increase our tax assessment will go up $11,000, and we can't afford that. The bottom line is, it would be silly for me to stay in the firewood business and then pass the land to my kids with the curse of not being able to be in the Williamson Act. So, where we are, it's a big deal, Williamson Act. So, what we do is we have a sod farm, we raise garlic seed, we raise alfalfa, we're complete agriculture. We've been there 116 years. I've moved 2 miles in my entire life. So, so at times, we used to be potato farmers. To supplement our income, I had to drive a school bus, I had to sell cars, we sold firewood to supplement our income. We're small farmers. Okay, until it just became in recent times, if we had a clue that we were doing anything wrong with the Williamson Act, I mean, and I know every logger, they don't even know. There's very few people that even know this law exists, so it was all new to us. It was very shocking. It wounded us. I contacted code enforcement in Butte, Yuba, Tehama, Stanislaus, and Fresno counties, and firewood is legal under the Williamson Act, all Ag 1 areas. What it is the counties in California that have almonds and olives, they have to take down their orchards. They can't burn their trees, so they got to either grind them on the spot, or they got to make firewood, or they grind them and they make like a Presto log product. That's three ways they can get rid of their, and that's many California counties. So, we are asking you supervisors to amend the Williamson Act to allow firewood sales, chips, very important to Siskiyou County, sawdust and wood pellets. And I emphasize wood pellets. We're a believer in wood pellets, and we compete against retail with firewood and wood pellets. We compete. So I would like wood pellets also to be. And I'm glad you guys talk about money all the time, okay? Because we believe we provide a good service to Siskiyou County. Our members currently are either elderly or poor. We do a lot. We do almost all the Great Northern vouchers, and our customers are all elderly. Okay, so. And I have my wife here. She's great. She can load a truck like nobody else. She sells. She takes care of the widows. Basically, our customers stay with us until they have to go to... Some of them, we transition into pellets. Some of them, they go to live with their kids. Some of them go to assisted living. You know, I went to another firewood guy, and he told me, he says, I have my customers till they die. And I thought, this guy's kind of arrogant. But now I get it. Because they don't want to switch. And if you get a widow's trust, you got her. So the old men love us. So, but the widows are always skeptical. It's always, but Audrey's there to comfort them. A lot of times we have to clean their pellet stove, and we'll go back and we'll say, "Hey, she's got to love us now." No, Mr. a lot of us, we can't make any of them happy.
This is public comment. It's 3 minutes time limit.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. I need to follow the process here. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. We displace about 200,000 gallons of kerosene. That's based on 26 million BTUs per quart of firewood on juniper and Doug fir, and that would displace 200,000 gallons of fuel in Siskiyou County. And you can say that's between $1 million and $2 million that leaves Siskiyou County and is paid for by elderly and poor people. So, and right now we currently have a great opportunity for salvage logs. Tristan Allen sending trucks by our place, right by our place. That's when we can get the best deal. With salvage logs, and he called me. He says, "You know, I got more chips than I can chip." So, but you know, I could not take the logs because I'm under this compliance order. And also, in the forest, I mean, where they took down the lodge poles for barriers, for fire barriers, there's lodge pole everywhere, and it's a hot commodity. Basically, we can never fill the demand for firewood. So if we are displaced in the firewood community, it will make a difference because there's nobody to take our place because you face supply and demand. The price will go way up. I get that. Every firewood guy, the first thing he complains about is the price of fuel. So they have something really to complain about. Okay. So my what I ask you guys is to make firewood ag is what I would like to ask. Okay. Would you like to speak up?
I think our statement.
And so I'm just following the process, please. 3 minutes is public comment. I've given you more than enough.
Okay.
Allowing for 3 minutes for the wife if she wants to speak.
Okay.
So I'm just asking you to wrap it up so we can get
okay,
to the discussion.
Okay, I wrapped it up. And do you guys have any questions? I know it all. Go ahead. Give it to me.
All right, let's get back to the regular scheduled public hearing deal. Any discussion, any questions from the board for the proponent here? So is it concept?
So, go ahead. I said I'm going to have for staff.
Yeah, I will too.
Yeah.
Any questions for the proponent?
No.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Parsons. Staff want to come on up because we have some questions. Graham, I'll let you start some other help, please.
Sure. Maybe this is some question to council as well. Where's the barrier in Williamson Act with forestry practices, if you will? As a forester, any time I hear forestry's not compatible with ag land, it irritates me a lot. But because that I am ag, for crying out loud. So where's the barrier? Is there a variance that can be granted for a certain piece of the Williamson Act? What are options here?
So the primary barrier, and as Mr. Parsons mentioned, there are other counties that allow firewood harvesting and processing on lands, agricultural lands. The difference is that those products are derived from the Williamson Act contract property itself. So you have an orchard that is under Williamson Act contract. You can, you know, manufacture wood products from those trees that have died and so forth and be recycled. In this case, the use, primary use, is not timber, right? If it was a timber operation, then they could do the manufacturing from the trees derived, grown on the property, and proceed without issue. So the barrier is the compatibility to the land use itself. Does that make sense?
Well, I guess it probably does to a lawyer. Is the barrier placed there so that permanent encumbrances can't be done to the land that would forego a future opportunity to use it for ag? Or is it just a black and white thing?
I think it's the spirit of the Williamson Act, essentially, right? So you have an agriculture operation that you have on your property that you are maintaining. So anything accessory to that agricultural operation is welcome with the Williamson Act and basically allowed for. But when you are bringing product from other places onto that property and manufacturing it, it's not an avenue for that within the rules. That said, the Board of Supervisors has the ability to change those rules. They so chose.
Got to hope so. Just saying, we got a hay farmer who happens to have some sheds. He mixes fertilizer in and sells the fertilizer on his Williamson Ag property. I don't know that that's being
derived from the property.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, so that's.
I guess all I'm saying is that I can't. Coming to mind quickly, I can't point to someone who's pure, in a sense, under Williamson Act Reserve that doesn't have some other ancillary business on that property in this county. So I'm looking at opportunities we may have going forward to change this so that certain things are allowed. And the reason I come back to the definition I was using, I wouldn't want somebody having a Williamson Act Reserve and then developing a cinder pit in the middle of it, or other some kind of non-conforming use that will alter that land in perpetuity for its intended purpose. But other ancillary businesses that don't alter that land seem to me that there ought to be a process for that to allow some of those. The reason I bring that up too is that I confront this on a daily basis in Scott Valley. And the reason I do is because of Scott Valley plant. And somehow, we have to be business friendly. And I'm not saying revising Scott Valley plant. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is that the land use restrictions are so difficult that it's near impossible to do any type of activity even on a temporary basis that may benefit the community, say processing firewood, dealing with fuels issues, having a fuel sort yard or something like that. Because as you well know, within the entire valley there's very limited circumstances for light industrial. You know, near impossible. So there has to be some intelligence applied, if you will, to me, in any way that this board can to these kinds of decisions. I guess I'll leave it there for a minute, and I'm sure I'll have some follow-up here in a minute.
So what percentage of the property is used for this?
I defer to the property owner, but it's probably less than 5%.
No, that's less than half of 1%. It's done on a 1 acre parcel of 500 acres. So
okay.
It's the 1%.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. But something else that I need to clarify also, right? So along with the Williamson Act, there's also zoning requirements too. So EG1 zoning, you know, this activity would be prohibited also, right? variance. It's not allowed in our current zoning ordinance.
So,
I guess what I was getting at was budget.
Yeah. How long have we been going through this process to get us to here, roughly?
Probably 5 months.
So, I guess my question is, has it been suggested that here we're doing essentially, we're combining two lots, correct, to one?
No, there's no land change. This is renewing his Williamson Act contract for the Parsons Williamson Act contract.
It's a renewal. I get
no
that.
No land division or anything of that sort.
But you're saying there's two contracts, right? Two agricultural preserves and the rescission of a portion of two of the act. Is there two Williamson Acts on this property of the 500 acres?
I'll bring Bernadette back up here, but it's complicated.
So here's where I'm going. So I'm not trying to get into the nitty-gritty, but where I'm going is, if we've identified that we've got a kind of an issue, you name two. One, it's not allowed within the Williamson Act, but secondly, even if we did allow it, it's got to be zoned. Why haven't we taken the approach that we just separate it out to begin with and make it zoned so that it can function and still allow the Williamson Act even outside that for the man, you know, outside of the 1 acre?
Right, we have explored all those options and presented them to the Parsons. Due to financial concerns, they're not willing to go down that road. They have both AG1 and AG2 land. The use that they are currently having on their property is on AG1 zoned ground. They have another parcel that is zoned AG2. This use would be allowed on it with a conditional use permit. So they would have to move their operation to their other piece of land. They'd have to rezone it to AG2, or excuse me, it's already zoned properly. They have to get a conditional use permit for the operation. But then they would also have to rescind that out of the Williamson Act contract because it's not compatible with that. I believe that's a 40-acre.
1 acre?
It's a 40-acre piece of ground.
Oh.
And we don't have the ability, so to speak, to divide land any smaller than 40 acres. It's in an AG2 or AG1 zone. It has a 40-acre minimum requirement.
Okay.
So it doesn't anymore?
Now I'll
we'll come back.
Yeah.
Supervisor.
So is everything they're doing with the firewood and the pellets being brought in from outside, or is the firewood being cut from that property?
Correct, it's being brought in from outside.
Can I ask a question?
Please, this is a board discussion. We'll come back to you. We'll get a chance. You'll get a chance, I'm sure.
So the other counties that approved the variance.
I don't think there's a variance.
So the change in the Williamson Act allowed for the cutting of firewood off of their own property. It didn't necessarily allow for processing of firewood from outside product. Is that what I'm understanding?
I would say that's framed pretty well. Understand that each county and their board has the ability to, you know, develop their own rules. So the other counties may have slightly different rules. If they're operating under our rules, I suspect they're, but the intent pretty much through and through with the Winston contract is to allow accessory uses for the product that's grown on the property.
Okay. So this would be, so this process is totally from outside product though. So this is an entirely not coming from their own, they have an agriculture business process, but then this business is totally used from outside product.
Correct.
And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to clarify yeah. that none of it's coming from their own property.
Right, right. And that's why it's at issue.
Okay.
If I could go first, and I'll go back around, because it's going to go around, so please bear with me. So how did this come about? Because was it strictly a renewal? I thought I had some, did someone say something that brought it to our attention here?
So generally speaking, the Williams Mac contract process has been a mess with the county for a very long time.
Right. And I just want to know how this situation came to our attention.
So twofold. We had a complaint about the business, so we had to deal that with code enforcement.
Okay.
It's a separate thing, so we were dealing with that. At the same time, the Williams Mac contract came up for renewal.
Okay.
It's complicated. It has a lot of different parcels.
Sure.
It includes cannabis cultivators, et cetera, et cetera. So we're trying to get a process where they have their own contract specific to their land.
Okay, so Williams Mac aside, what they're doing, would it be allowed?
No, it would not be allowed for the zoning, which is occurring.
Right. Okay. Okay.
That's okay.
So where the hell?
This is a question for council. Keying on what Director Dean said, can you explain to me the difference between the law and our rules? Two different things here.
Well, this is something I think we'd have to bring back. But as I'm understanding the circumstance here, it sounds like under our rules, the activity being done is incompatible with our rules, which we're allowed to, as Rick says, change if we wish. But even if we were to change those rules so as to allow this activity on a Williamson Act property, in this particular case, we'd also have to change the zoning. So there are basically two things that would need to be changed. The board can direct us to work with Rick's department and come up with a change to our Williamson Act to allow these type of activities, and we can do that. And then we could also, if the applicant is wanting to do so, we can work up coming up with a zoning change so as to allow it. But without having the particulars, and I mean, I don't want to do this off the top of my head. I'd have to look at the details, because the devil's always in the details.
Yeah, and I guess my question is, have we added additional regulation on top of what the law says?
I'm not able to tell you off the top of my head. I think my understanding would be, and Rick might be able to help on this, I think my understanding is we make the rules with respect to what's compatible. I'm not aware that we've added issue. I don't think this is a circumstance where we've added restrictions on top of what the state allows, but it's just a matter of not having affirmatively allowed this. But again, without looking, not having been involved in this matter, I'm just kind of talking off the top of my head, and I want to look at the details.
And I give you that discretion. But I'd like to know the answer at some point.
I will definitely look into that.
Well, my perception of it, Williamson Act, we did not, since I've been a school, we have not changed Williamson Act. We have not added, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, because all I ever hear is ag, one, how important it is. We've never done anything on that front either. It's whatever that zoning and the requirements are, has been that way since I've been a supervisor.
Mm-hmm. So, I just heard the discrepancy in the presentation.
I was asking
the question.
So what's Pop's follow up?
So what's the fix?
The fix would be to work with council to amend the rules, the Williamson Act contract to allow the use. Then also you have to amend the zoning district for at least Ag 1, potentially Ag 2, to allow for it. A, either outright as a use, or B, as with a conditional use permit. It would go through the planning department process to be approved.
Would that be for all of Ag 1 and Ag 2?
Correct. It would be countywide. So, I mean, this goes back to the general plan, right?
Right. Right.
So, our land use element hasn't been updated since 1980 and before.
Understood.
And there hasn't been anything of significance that I'm aware of that's been added to it.
Anything else, Kevin?
No, I just... No, not really. I'm just saying, I don't know that we're going to resolve this today, right?
Well, we need to get everything on the table, so, because it'll come back, I'm sure. Supervisor Rogan?
I just want to make sure that that doesn't open the door, how specific we're going to get, and how does that open the door to other things that we may not want.
That was my whole point about, does it open up for Ag 1, Ag 2? Right. I mean, that's the point.
Yeah, so it all boiled down to the language and working with council to keep it in a narrow lane.
Yeah, through the chair, I'm hearing that you're open to having activity. I'm hearing you don't want to have a cinder block factory there, I think is the example that you use. We can work with Rick and try to come up with uses that we anticipate the board would be okay with.
Through the chair. Yeah, sure, from my perspective, I want to make an intelligent decision, so I need some more information
yes.
to be able to do that. And I am particularly interested in how this affects the rest of the county. And I feel that today the information is insufficient for me to know that.
Mr. Parsons, I'm going to allow you to come up and say some public comments because this is so not straightforward for the board.
My question is, I don't know why we can't make firewood ag, so it's just like a garlic or a hay bale. That's my number one question. And my number two question is, the big loophole in firewood is you have the right to get it for yourself. So, and why I got in trouble was I could not get a permit from the county to sell firewood, okay? So, and if you're lucky enough to get a permit from the county from planning to do firewood, that's great. But if you find out from code enforcement, you cannot have that. You're zoned rural residential, you're residential, all those zonings, none of them comply. I tried to find places. There was no place I could run a firewood business. So I don't know how you're supposed to do it. And I wonder why the county would even sell you a permit to sell firewood when code enforcement will not allow you to sell firewood.
Okay, Mr. Parsons.
Okay.
I think we get it.
Okay.
So is there any follow-up that you want to say to the board, so this is probably going to come back.
Okay.
We get the firewood piece. We're struggling with the Williamson Act, the zoning.
Okay.
I hope you see that perspective.
I see the perspective. Is there no potential to make firewood ag? That's my question. Can we make it ag like it's every other commodity? That's
okay.
My question.
Thank you. Mrs. Parsons, would you like to say anything? Because you're part of the process here.
Thank you, sir. You have a point.
Okay, so let me just say this so we can move forward here, because I think it does come back. You know, from my perspective, I would go along with the staff's recommendation. It's a Williamson Act. It was set up for specific reasons. He mentioned the amount of money that he doesn't want to pay because of the tax difference, which is, to me, secondary. I mean, how do you find the loophole to allow, which I think is completely acceptable, to cut firewood and make a deal? But having said that, we just went through a budget where we are losing out on revenue. And so you add his Williamson Act to all the others that I've argued that we should have a full spectrum of the ones that are non-compliant. Because he's not the only non-compliant Williamson Act person out there. You want to go ahead and allow that, you got to do it countywide and open up that can of worms. And I'm not willing to do that. Because all I ever hear from whatever ag part of this county is that, you know, how important it is, and it is, but there are allowable uses for that, and to start changing that direction now, I think is not going to help us in the long run. The Williamson Act, you know, I've always said that, you know, I've come more to grips with it. I think it's. I've always argued that if you're going to do that, let's get rid of it and give everyone a 10% reduction and let the chips fall where they may, because it's not fair to every other person out there that's doing what they think is right on their property. And or the city people that are paying, you know, doing all those kind of things. So I personally would like to see Williamson come back in a bigger spectrum and how we can modify it for the people that want to do what they should be able to do. And firewood being one of them. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, at this point in time, I have to go along with staff's recommendation. And revisit it at, you know, and because it's not fair for this to come before us in this setting, right? But I think the thing that, which reason I'm going to go along with the staff recommendation is what he's doing is not allowed in Ag 1.
Is there an assigned area where you can grow?
I'm sorry, this is public comments closed. So wishes of the board, because I know that'll be contrary to what I'm suggesting.
I guess I'm not searching for opening up the entire county, but what I am looking for is clarification on the questions I asked. You know, if it takes a reopening of zoning across the county, not likely that we're going to go there. But I want to have that discussion in light of all the other things that we discussed today. You mentioned it's you know, from a business perspective, the Ag 1 piece, and I get that. But the other piece of this that I just heard is it's impossible to sell firewood under a county permit. I don't know why. I don't need to know today, but I do need to know why at some point, because that also generates revenue for the county as well. And I don't want to be killing one business to keep one to kill another. So I just think there's more discussion that we need to have as a board. In general, maybe not related to this one specific thing, but this is going to come up constantly. You know, maybe there's something within the Williamson Act, I don't know, a certain percentage of something else that's allowed, because like I said, this is not the only secondary business going on in Ag 1 in this county. There's lots of it. And we're going to have to come to grips with what's acceptable and what's not. I don't think we can do that today.
Sure, special.
So just allowing firewood in Ag Preserve is not going to cure this, correct? I mean, that's one question that Mr. Parsons asked, and we need an answer to that, because I don't think it fixes it.
Right, and what it comes down to is manufacturing versus production. Right. So the use of manufacturing would be allowed in industrial zones or light industrial.
But just changing ag to be in the Williamson Act and allowed use firewood isn't gonna fix this.
No.
Right?
If it was crafted with detail, potentially.
Well, I'd have to see what that looks like. But so do we need, I mean, staff's recommendation is today not to approve, but what does that mean? I mean, it sounds like we're going to go back out and look at stuff, but does that mean we're killing this at this point, or is it going to come back?
I would not go there. I think what we need is clarification on a lot of questions, you see, because I think, you know, I don't want to say, if it was me, I would make the motion, it dies for lack of whatever. Or if it did, it still doesn't cure what's going on out there.
Right.
So I think we need to look at it in bigger context. So what my point is, and is starting with Ray, and so obviously you, and get the questions that need to be answered, specifically so the next time we have the meeting, that we can get to wherever we're going to head, whatever path we're going to head down.
Well, you know, I don't belabor this too much, but I just a little bit, and I hate to bring this up, but I'm sorry to say, a couple of years ago, you know, agribusiness brought this up. You know, when we were attempting to try and figure out legitimate businesses on Ag 1 lands that are associated with a ranch or not associated with a ranch, and what was permitted and what wasn't, and it's a huge can of worms. So,
absolutely.
You know, so I think just based on that, and that horrible experience, trying to go through that, I think it just warrants a more transparent, open discussion with this board in a more open venue, not associated with a specific decision on a particular property.
Mike, why do you follow up?
And I guess where I'm at, I agree. The only thing is the Parsons have paid. You know, they're in a process. I don't want to kill this process and have to start over somewhere, at least at this juncture. I think we need to get more details as to what we can or can't do when it's brought back. This is a tough spot to be in.
I do agree with you. I mean, even if we cure the firewood problem, we still got a zoning issue. Yeah. We're not going to fix today.
My point is let's not kill it today. Let's get all the important pertinent information so we can make a path forward, whatever that may be. Right? Because I agree, Supervisor Cobb said, if we do something and start the process over, that's not fair. It's not fair to the applicant, it's not fair to the county. Supervisor Ogden, anything?
I'm in agreement. I think we need some more information before we can make a qualified decision on this without hindering their process. So I would like to find out some more information from council before we can make a final decision.
And I think for me, I'm still supportive of staff's recommendation not to renew the Williamson Act contract. I think there's too many, trying to put the square peg into the round hole scenario, there's too many things which is not fair to the process, right? You can't do it for individuals, you gotta do it for the whole thing, which is my preference to have this. I've always articulated this since I've been a supervisor. Bring that back, go through all the people that are where we are with that non-compliance, and be transparent about how much money we are giving up in this county, general fund money, because we're not getting money off firewood cutting, we're getting money off property tax values.
Sales tax.
We don't get, I doubt that there's sales tax to come out of that.
There is sales tax.
That's why I would be happy to quantify that, because our biggest revenue source is TOT tax to the tune of $500,000 or so, and property tax values, which is the biggest funder. Sales tax, I'd love to know what that amount is and figure it out, because it's not, in my mind, what I see on a budget item consequential to our budget. It's consequential to the local entities, maybe.
That's nice, Ed, but I got no TOT in my district.
You don't have to have TOT. You get the benefit of TOT in the county. It doesn't go to a district.
But I'm looking countywide at revenue generation, not just places where TOT is generated. I can't have development in my district, but I got a lot of firewood. And I got a glut of other forest products.
And Ray, that's fine, but you're giving a benefit to a small percentage of people in a Williamson Act for a tax break that most people in this county don't get. And we suffer on the budget because of that. A significant amount.
I can't agree with that.
That's your opinion.
Yeah.
Right, so we're not going to agree on that, which is why I said let's get the questions answered so we can make a path forward, because I know I'm going to be at the short end of this. Rick, do you have anything else you need to know from this board for what you need to move forward for, and you bring this back?
Just to draw attention to the recommended motion, which is directing to bring it back, essentially.
That's what I was going to point out, asking to continue the public hearing to a date uncertain. I don't know that we normally do that.
And I would leave it to staff to bring it back when they get the pertinent questions, because it's got to go to the county council, right?
So I would move to bring it back, with that one recommendation.
I'll second that.
Are we then closing the hearing?
No, we're going to continue the hearing.
But to keep...
I don't know that we can continue the hearing to a date uncertain. It would seem to me you would simply direct staff to bring it back when we've got any additional information necessary, and we can agendize it at that point.
That's my motion.
But to close the hearing?
Close the hearing, yes.
That's what I needed to know. Mr. Valenzuela, you're going to close the hearing, correct?
Close the hearing.
Thank you.
But does that eliminate this process we're in by closing
that
the hearing?
That's my concern, because I don't want to shut this thing down.
That's
the council.
Yeah.
I'm sure I didn't hear. I was speaking with the administrator, and she suggested if we wished, we could pick a date certain, and if we're not prepared at that point to move forward, we could continue it. So we can do.
So you need a date certain in the motion.
If we're going to continue.
We're going to keep this open.
And that would be my preference. So let's pick a date.
Yeah.
Because I think that's
where we at. We're in June.
July 5 and 12 are the next.
Yes.
And then August, I don't know right off the top of my head.
Okay.
Let's do the first Tuesday in August.
2 and 9.
Yeah, because I want their adequate time.
Yeah,
I don't want this to come back and another question. And so I would ask my fellow board members, if you have something that comes to mind, please get a hold of staff and give that to them before.
What are you looking for?
August 2nd.
Yeah, August.
August 2nd and August 9th. Are
August
the
2nd would be in my motion.
Okay.
Okay, motion second. When did you get that?
I did not. Cobb-Seff, you were the motion maker. Who was the second?
Sue has ordered to date certain August 2nd.
And this is to continue the public hearing?
Yes.
And we're not, and we haven't closed the hearing, right?
No.
Correct.
To the August 2nd hearing?
Correct.
Or 2nd
right.
meeting? The 9th. The August 9th is the second meeting?
No, August 2nd.
The meeting
of the
2nd, okay. I'm hearing 2nd and I'm thinking it's the 2nd meeting of the month. Okay, sorry. And for staff to work with council.
Yes.
Yeah, for further direction, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Halpin.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobb-Seff.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Chris is recused. If we can get him back in here, I think we are done with
that
one.
Do you continue any? You want to take a break for a moment?
I'm good. I'm okay.
Brandon, you back
there?
I don't want to do this again, Brandon. You stick around there.
Is there any way I can get a date on my report before we get out of here?
Oh, we're not done with the meeting yet. More stuff. So thank you, Vice Chair, for doing that. And I apologize to you. There is another Williamson Act going on here. Oh, if I could have the agenda, get the blue sheet of paper on it.
Oh,
well, thank you, Mr. Reynolds, for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, there is another Williamson Act, but I'll give you a little break, and I won't pull from that.
Oh, let's do it now. It's now.
But I know we have some staff that wants to get through, so we're going to do, for the team to know, what we're going to do now is the general services edible food. And then after that, then we're going to do the MOU for general services.